everybody. Welcome to episode 6 of This Date is Fact. My name is Elle.
And my name is Seth. And today we're going to tell you some pretty horrific date stories, as we usually do. I feel like we've also got to apologize. We have been a bit absent and not as on top of our recordings as we normally are. I promise that that's sort of going to stop now, and we are going to be more consistent with our production and what's going on. Elle might take a little bit of a step back for a couple of episodes, as living in Canberra can get a little bit wild, and Mental Health Week is really important. So sometimes you need to stop, focus on yourself, and focus on what's important for you.
Absolutely. And Seth's going to have lots of wonderful guests pop in and out and tell their colourful stories as well, I'm sure, which will be very exciting. I'm still here. I'm still going to be telling stories when I can. But yes, it is hard doing this long distance. Hopefully I can convince this little one to come and visit me and we can bang out a few episodes together. How does that sound?
I actually can't wait to come visit you. I've just been I've had something on every weekend, and it's really upset me that I haven't been down yet to see you.
You're a very popular person. It's understandable.
I'm not, but that's okay.
All right.
I'm popular in the unpopular way.
All right, are you going to start with the first story?
Yeah, all right. So I actually posted a little question on Instagram saying, what is the worst thing that someone has said to you, like, during sex?
Yep.
Yes, because I've had someone say, I've actually had a few people say some really strange things to me, and it just makes me stop. And I'm thinking, who the fuck taught you that? Or what, like, how in your head did you think that's going to be sexy to say that to me? Or to, like, who's told you that that was a sexy thing for you to say to someone else? And it sort of really got me thinking. And I was at a lunch the other day, my friend Ella, we had a surprise birthday for her, and I asked the table of people around us what the weirdest thing someone had ever said to them was. And some of the stuff that came out of people's mouths was so ridiculous. And it is actually more guys that say strange things to girls than girls to guys.
Yeah. And I wonder, that when you say, you know, who taught them to say that, if not who taught you, then where the hell did it come from deep within yourself in the moment to say something like that? Or what pornography depicted something like that?
I don't know. You know what? Sometimes I think that they're just trying. I don't know if it's something that they're trying new things. Oh, that's
right.
Going to sound
like it's not coming natural to them. It's just it's an effect.
You know what? I don't know, but this one, like, we also had Arthur write in again. He said that he was with a girl and he was having sex with her, and she said, "Punch me."
Oh God!
So I thought that was not even funny.
Not even stages. Not even spank me or pull my hair, but straight to punch me.
I didn't ask, but a few boys wrote in about, like, BDSM is fine, and I'm a big supporter of don't yuck somebody's yum, but I feel like with anything to do with sexually arousing your partner by hurting them, that's not the conversation that you're going to have beforehand. Like, don't yuck someone. BDSM is fine, sweet, stick to it, but just be safe about it and have that conversation with someone before you just ask them to do it, because you could surprise them. And what if they don't know how to do it? They might accidentally hurt you.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Somebody could hit.
One of my very, like, continuing on in this little subject we're on, one of my very, very close friends, I call her Sally, wrote in a very, very funny story about what actually happened to her.
Yeah.
She said she had been seeing this guy and they'd gone home together for the first time, and she was fully expecting the sex to be incredible, the sexual tension to be absolutely outstanding. And they were getting it together, and they took off all their clothes and they started to have sex. And as soon as it started, she knew that something was wrong. It was 3 pumps and he was done.
Oh,
and yeah. And she was just like, that was the shortest sex I've had in my life. Like, what do I say? And he looked down at her apologetically, and this is what comes out of his mouth. Oh, look, I'm so sorry, like, I came so quickly, like, you're just so gorgeous. I was even thinking of my dead grandma while I was fucking you.
What? You're so gorgeous, I was even thinking of my dead grandma.
to stop himself from finishing.
Oh, I see. Okay, I didn't understand that. I thought you meant it was such a beautiful moment. He was thinking of his dead grandma, like some kind of holy moment.
No, maybe I explained that wrong. But he was to stop himself from finishing. He looked her in the eye afterwards and said, "Oh, you're so gorgeous. Like, I'm sorry for finishing. I was even thinking of my dead grandma."
To try and stop. Oh, yuck. But as if you have sex with him again, even though, like, yes, sure, first times can always be tricky. It doesn't always go to plan. You're figuring each other out. You're learning what you like. But to say that, I don't think you're going to have a round two, mate.
Oh, no. I think she asked him to leave, or she left very quickly after that. She was fuming. She was not happy. Yeah.
That's good. That's made me think of your celiac story from last week.
People are sick. It's true.
I want to hear what else people said around the table. What were some of the things people were saying in the bedroom?
I'm actually going to save a couple of those stories because they're very good.
All right, good, 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 good.
They are pretty filthy. But, yeah, a couple of listeners wrote in. I think Punch Me was quite a funny one. But, yeah, there are a couple which I'm going to save, so I'll keep you posted.
Yeah.
My next story is actually a personal one of mine. You'll know it. It happened to me when I just got back from London. Mm-hmm. I was swiping through Bumble and I saw someone on Bumble that I used to work with 10 years ago. And I thought, oh, he's pretty good looking. Maybe he's like changed a bit. He looks great. Maybe I'll swipe, say yes, see what happens. And he swiped and said yes. And we were having a chat for a little bit and we organized to meet up for a date. This is the beginning or the cusp of Corona. So everything was closed. So I organized to go around to his house and we were going to cook a dinner. And because I knew him, I felt really, really safe doing this. And I also used to work with his other brother. So very, very safe doing this. Anyway, I love meatballs. I cook amazing meatballs. I think it's my most famous recipe. Everyone loves my meatballs. So I talked myself up and I said, I'm going to cook you these amazing meatballs. We can cook it together, have a couple of drinks. And I went round to his place with all the ingredients and I started cooking. As I'm there popping things in the fridge, just after I walked in, after we'd said hellos, I hear this enormous burp. And I'm talking like a real tummy belch, just enormous. And I turn around quickly and I was like, oh, my God, what happened to you? And this guy, we'll call him Jeff, just replied, oh, sorry. And then I was like, oh, that's okay. Like, don't worry. It's all good. I was feeling pretty awkward, but I laughed it off. Naturally.
Like, if you've been in a relationship for a while, sure, you let all that stuff slide. But a first date after not seeing each other in a while, you'd sort of keep it together.
Yeah, you don't burp. It, like, he was literally standing like a meter behind me.
Ew, no. Really.
Anyway, so I kind of let that slide. I was like, oh, accidents, that's pretty weird. And I cooked the meatballs and we ate the meatballs. And throughout the rest of the date, he burped on me pretty much every 10 to 15 minutes, just burping. And because of the meatballs, he would just breathe out this wasp of meatballs. Would just float into my face and I'm just sitting there thinking, is this real? Is this real life? Like, stinks. And how do I, like, just raise the discussion. Do you tell someone when they're being disgusting?
I think it should be pretty obvious to them that they are being disgusting and that they should rein that shit in. I remember when you were messaging us in the girls' chat about this, actually, and you were like, it's garlicky. It's like, I can just, it's such a serious smell. It was just, and we were all gagging and absolutely horrified. I still can't believe that he didn't. I mean, it's one thing to apologize for doing it, but to just continually do it throughout the evening. Like, you at least cover your mouth or hold it in or sort of make it a hiccup or go to the bathroom, do something, right?
He was trying to, I think he was trying to muffle them, but he'd like hold it in, then breathe it out, and it would still hit me in the face. But he was drinking a lot of soda water. So I thought, you know what, maybe that's why. Maybe he's had all this soda water. I don't know. So I organized for a second date because he was really, really lovely. He, like, everything else about the date was lovely. Yeah. Organized a second date And he came over to my place and we cooked. And the entire time he burped on me again. And it got to the point where I made a friend call up pretending to be my mom and saying I had an emergency and he had to go. And it was so awkward because I think he realized that I got the ick. As soon as he burped on me, I was looking and I was like, I have the complete ick. I'm not interested at all. Sorry, Jeff. Fuck off.
Yeah, major turn off. But I want to see some kind of issue. Like, at what point do you just bring it up? Let's say you actually really liked him and wanted to continue pursuing it, when is it appropriate time to not embarrass them but to politely say, look, I think you have a digestion issue here. Is that something – have you noticed that this is – you're burping more than anybody else in the world has ever burped? It's not normal and something you should look into? I mean, how would you broach that?
I don't know. That's why I don't know. I spoke to a couple of friends after it had happened and they said – you should have just told him straight away that that's disgusting. It's not on. But I am pretty polite and I didn't know. Look, I don't know if he had a problem or not, but you don't burp on people and then breathe it on them.
Yeah. Maybe he didn't realize how smelly they were and he thought that he was just like hiding the burp and just breathing softly to cover it, but didn't know it was so stinky.
Well, it was not breathing. It was like that. It was just filth. But yeah, that was my little run-in with what I like to call the meatball burper.
Yes, as he'll forever be known. Rain it in.
My next story comes with a trigger warning. It's the worst one I've heard so far.
Really?
Yes.
This you know?
It's gross. I'll let you make up your own mind, but it's a shocker. Like it's genuinely quite shocking.
Okay, go for it.
So I was hanging out with a few friends about a month ago and one of them is a nurse and she was I was telling her about the podcast, what we were doing. I asked if she had any stories and she said, no, but I do have this one from working in a hospital. Every night when I'm on night duty, some of the doctors and nurses get together and they swap stories about what the craziest things that they've seen in their medical careers.
Yeah.
And there was a gay doctor who strolled in and he was very, very popular with everyone there. And he said, look, no, I can shut you guys down right now. I actually have the best story for you. Sit back and relax. He said that he was on shift one night and a nurse came up to him and said, look, we've got this patient. We really need you to have a look at it. He's got pretty severe abdominal pain and we can't figure out what's going on. The doctor walks in and he has a look at the patient and he just says he realizes that the other patient is gay as well. And he says to him, what do you have up there? And the guy says, what do you mean? He goes, just let me know. Look, I want to make you feel better. This is a safe space. Just let me know what you have up there.
Yeah.
And the guy, the patient had, his partner had shoved a carrot up his bum and he'd shoved it so far in and so deep that it had perforated his bowel.
Oh, Jesus.
Gets worse.
Carrots are pretty solid and pointy. Far out.
Yeah, you get like – this apparently happens in hospitals like a lot of girls coming in with things stuck up there, men things stuck up there as well, and they leave it there for several days because they're too embarrassed to come in and do anything about it. But luckily this guy came in. Obviously he would have been in a severe amount of pain. He'd had this, it perforated his bowel. That's parts of his
stuff all around his body.
Yeah. So serious, to the point where he had to get a stoma and which is a hole, like an open wound in your tummy, which lets like a colostomy bag, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Just while his bowel was healing. So he had a stoma in his tummy on the side with the colostomy bag, and it's really, really prone to infection. So you have to be really stringent with how you clean it. And so they went into this massive routine with this patient, showing him how to do it, and they gave him a list of instructions and they made him very, very aware that he has to keep this area clean.
Yeah.
He comes in 2 weeks later or a week later, and the stoma is severely infected.
Oh, yuck. No.
So, yeah, so infected. It is just gross. And the nurses and the doctor said, what have you done to it? Like, we showed you how to clean it. Like, what the fuck? What happened? And they gave him some antibiotics and some creams, and they weren't working. So they did a swab test to see what the bacteria, what the infection could be. Mm. And the results came back, and it was syphilis.
Oh, no.
So I don't, like, so his partner had, there's no easy way to say it. He'd fucked the hole. He'd fucked the stoma hole.
No.
Yep.
He fucked his tummy.
He put his penis inside his stoma hole. And he had syphilis. So that's where obviously he would have got an infection, I'm guessing, just from the penis being in there in the first place. But the fact that his partner had syphilis obviously made it 10 times worse.
That's insane. Why would anybody find that arousing at all? Why would you ever want to put, oh dear. And for both of them to be okay with it.
I don't, can you imagine how painful that would be? This is an open wound in your stomach.
Oh, where you're supposed to be releasing your body's toxins out of.
Your excrement.
That is foul. I think you have absolutely topped it.
I've held that on to that one for about 4 or 5 weeks now. The only thing which I'm a little bit concerned about is obviously that is a pretty severe example of sadism.
Yeah.
Masochism.
Yeah. Masochism.
Yeah. So
it wasn't just this is a new orifice, let's give it a go. You think it was an actual, this is going to really hurt you, let's do it.
I think it was I think it was a bit of both.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. It's a pretty crazy fucked up story. It is genuinely the most shocking story that I've heard doing my research for this.
Do you know when it happened? How recent that?
No. No. No.
I think that's
a friend who's a nurse. Yeah, she told me this. I don't know. Don't know when it happened, but obviously it's not in the news. Like, it's a patient.
Yeah. That's where a fetish is borderline. I think that's where you start thinking about mental issues. Do you know what I mean? Where, so obviously we were talking about necrophilia and pedophilia, and that's where they are fetishisms that are actually fucked up and wrong to the point of mental, there's got to be some mental instability there. I feel like this would almost be a case like that. To put yourself in such harm's way that is so obviously wrong. Do you think?
Yes, I'm with you. I think that is a really harmful experience. And I think at so many points in that evening or when it occurred, they both knew what they were doing was really harmful to the patient, to the guy.
You'd have to know that you'd have to be not all up there, right?
No, God, no. Like, yeah, this, yeah, something definitely a screw loose, but yeah, sicko story, isn't it?
Completely. Do you know how the nurse responded? I suppose they just have to clean it up and raise their eyebrows and send them on their way again, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah. I think, I don't know if any domestic violence, anything was kind of said about it there, but I hope so. Unless, you know, as I said, don't yuck somebody's yum, but you could have killed him.
Yep. That's
I don't know.
Way more yuck than yum there.
Yeah. My last story is, so I've actually, I don't know if you've been on TikTok. Do you have TikTok?
I don't. I think there's a slight generational gap there. I know you love TikTok and I know we're the same age, but I feel like I'm out of it. I feel like I don't think I'd get it. Like, I know what it is. It's people doing videos and dances and things, and then you copy them. And some stuff is funny. It's sort of like Vines as well, right?
It's pretty similar to a Vine. It's not just dances.
Yeah.
You would love it. They have home renovations, like full-on house makeovers.
No, I wouldn't.
Yeah, and there's also these girls who will put on, like do this amazing face of makeup or like costume makeup and tell you a murder story or tell you this crazy story that happens. It's literally, it's not just dancing, but it's, sorry?
Oh no, I just said, okay.
Yeah, no, it's really, really good. But I've been following this tagline, which is like horrible dates.
Oh, nice.
Like dates. Yeah. So I've been following this one and this video of this guy comes up and he's talking about when he was 17 with his young girl, a 17-year-old girlfriend at the time, and they're at her place sitting around watching a family movie with her brother, her sister, and her two parents on the couch, and then her and her boyfriend, this guy, the boyfriend and the girl, on their own couch privately.
Oh, no.
And he was really, really horny, and she was really, really horny, apparently. This is his words, not mine. And she reaches around, touches him on his privates and his willy, and she just leans over and says, pull down your pants and pull down my pants. And they had sex on one of their dates in front of her whole family without them realizing.
What? Okay. Logistics here. There had to be a doona or some kind of like blanket, obviously. I thought you were going to say maybe some like finger banging or something. How could they? Was she sitting on his lap?
No, so they were lying side by side like little sardines next to each other and there was a blanket on top of them.
Spooning sex.
Yeah. And he finished.
That's disgusting. That is disgusting. Yeah. I mean, it's one thing. Okay, the fear of getting caught is a real sort of turn on for some people. But that's more than getting caught. That's like, that's almost engaging your family in the act.
But I think it's filthy. Like the poor parents. Imagine like parents. The mum. But like he just like how, like logistically, I just don't know how it would work. I'll post the video on our Instagram because it's like it's interesting, like listening to him talk about it.
Yeah.
Obviously, he is clearly disgusted yet proud of himself.
Yeah. And also it's obviously been long enough ago where he feels like he's sort of not totally responsible for it anymore. It's like, oh, we were crazy kids.
You are a filthy, filthy child.
That is not. Well, no, that's sort of, I feel the same way about that. Actually, that's worse. But that makes me think of when guys watch strippers and stuff. Like you're getting turned on. Like I know lots of guys say it's just a funny thing now. But or if you went to a strip club, you're getting turned on in a group with your friends. Do you know what I mean? Like that, I feel like that's usually a private thing between you and the person that you're engaging in that with. And obviously with a stripper or in a strip club, you're not engaging in it with them, but you're still getting turned on and aroused with your mates. Do you know what I mean?
It's a bit sick.
It is a bit.
Yeah.
I'm still that kind of group mentality.
I don't think sex should ever be a taboo subject. I think there's a lot of our parents' generation and our generation that's still extremely conservative about it when it should be an open topic that should be really taught and pressed upon in high school, like things to do with consent, how you sex, what's appropriate, how to talk to your partner. There should be a massive push towards a conversation about sex and that it is okay, it's a natural thing. But call me conservative, I just don't know about those group sex things or, you know, that some things will be done in private.
Yeah, I agree. And I agree with you on the sex education stuff. I remember year six sex education was like really focused on just the body parts, which, informative. But again, it was very focused on male body parts, not so much on female. It was about the male erection, the male pleasure, the male ejaculation and what all of that meant. There was nothing about female pleasure. Obviously, we were learning about sex and biology and the logistics, not about pleasure, but it was still discussed as though just the guy comes kind of thing, just for the baby-making purposes. But they never touch on any of the female stuff and empowerment of female sexuality at all. Maybe that's a bit young, year six, but I feel perhaps sex education in high school could start going into that. And you're absolutely right. Consent should be spoken about from the get-go, from the very beginning. That should be sex education 101, consent. What is it? You know? I don't know.
Yeah.
Too young in year six to talk about that. I don't think so, because kids are starting to kiss at that age. You know, year seven and eight, kids are starting to have sex. They're definitely doing all the other stuff. So, yeah, you're right.
I never felt comfortable to have – my parents never, ever gave me the sex talk or had any conversations about that. I don't know whether that was due to their upbringing, but it's something that I do – I actually really resent them for not having that conversation with me. So I know that when I have kids, it's sex education is going to be at the forefront, extremely important. You have to have those conversations with your kids, with people. Just raise your fucking boys right. Like, it's not hard.
Yeah, that's number one as well, isn't it? Because I think if – I don't know if you feel the same way, but in not talking about sex as a young – I wouldn't say young woman, maybe even as a girl, in not talking about it, it makes it scarier almost, because you don't feel like you're in control of it. You don't feel like it's about you. Sex is all very much about the guy, about him being pleased. It's not about, I don't know, for me it was, at a young age, it was never important about how you felt about it. It was all, oh, I hope the guy, you know, I hope the guy likes it. I hope he likes me. It was, yeah, never about you.
I'm definitely with you. At a young age, I think boys were very focused on that. But now that I'm older, I definitely think it's the reverse.
That's good. For yourself or for the guys? For both.
For myself, a lot of people that I've been with, they're very focused on how I feel, but I do believe that sex is not about you. It's about making the other person feel amazing, and that should be vice versa. And if you're not with someone who's not doing that for you, then you're with the wrong person, or you really have to have a serious conversation about that, because sex is not just about you. It's about how you're making that other person feel and the connection that you have.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
It's not sex should never ever be selfish.
Yeah.
If it's going to be selfish, no one's going to have a good time at the end of the day.
Yep. I heartily agree. I feel like that's an excellent note to leave on.
Look at us little preachers taking on the world.
I know. Who would have thunk it? I'm really glad that 2020, there's so much more female empowerment and discussions around sexuality and consent and all the rest that comes with it. It's really wonderful to see that, you know, got these incredible young women that are going to be running the world one day.
Yeah, it's good. I'm here for it.
Yep.
I'm here for it.
100%.
All right. I'm going to love you and leave you. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We're super excited to continue on this weirdo journey with you. And as I said, I promise we're going to be a lot more consistent with episodes in the future.
Absolutely. We'll keep bringing you the crazy stories with a little dose of reality and seriousness as well, sometimes when we feel like it.
All right. Ciao, ciao, everybody. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.